Yes, and it's so good to be back after a couple weeks break. I traveled to Northern California and went to the Science and Non-Duality Conference and had a just a wonderful time. Just such a deep joy there, and met with so many friends and colleagues and made many new connections. So I was really really excited to be there. And so yes, welcome. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us. It's good to see you, Tony and Michelle, and all the others who joined. So I got a handful of announcements here that I'd like to go through. This satsang, it's supported by your generosity, and so I want to thank you for that. And so in the last couple of weeks, a check came in from Shauna and Jim and Marco and Butch and Kiara, and so thank you all. And of course, for any of those who I missed, I want to thank you as well. It's it's a wonderful thing, this work I do, and I feel so blessed to be a part of it. And if you feel that you've been touched by this satsang, by something you've heard here, or by this sangha, then please support it. Please support the sangha. We could use some greater contributions to help with our technology fund and infrastructure. I also have a support person who, Suzanne, who does so much for me just through volunteer basis, and I'm afraid I'm going to wear her out, and it'd be nice to one day be able to pay her, for the good work that she does is in bringing, all the YouTube stuff and the website and helping out with the emails and just everything in general. So we're just putting it out there here at the Sangha that we could use more support. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. The biggest way you can support is through sharing your heart with the world, sharing your beauty and divinity, so we can shine our lights out and actually change the world. A couple, maybe I'll just get on to the announcements real quick. So next, in a couple of weeks, I'll be in Cincinnati offering two satsangs at the Victory of Light. And then this coming January, the 18th through the 20th, I'll be in Carbondale, Colorado. It's about 20 or 30 miles outside of Aspen in the Aspen Valley, offering a retreat. And so I look forward for all of you who would like to join us there. It's going to be a wonderful time. Be a deeply intimate experience and an opportunity to deeply, deeply jump on the path, to connect fully, and to let go into the hugeness of what you are. So retreat is always a powerful time to explore this divinity, this openness and love. And so a couple of hours ago, I heard about that there was a shooting at a yoga studio in Florida. And it just was really shocking to me, to see that this kind of pain is happening in our world. When I look out at the world, I see such beauty and such love coming forward. But then simultaneously, there's still horrors that are taking place. And so I thought we'd just take a moment and just send some love to all the victims, to those who lost their life and those who are in the hospital, and even to the shooter, because he needs love as well. All of us need love here on planet Earth. And it's so unfortunate what has happened to us. It's so unfortunate that our collective consciousness has gotten comfortable with mental illness and guns and not having a strict gun controls. I was speaking with Thomas Huber, the great He's a great non-dual teacher from Germany. I think he lives in Israel now. But I was speaking with him at the SAN conference, just about how much pain the world is in. One of the things that he was noticing, because he lives in Germany, he said that, after there's been tremendous trauma in the collective psyche of the planet, throughout Europe, he said there's a couple decades that go by when people are, they're just working, they're just getting back on their feet, the culture is rebuilding itself. And once the culture gets at a safe place, that's when a lot of this deep trauma starts coming forward, the trauma that was unresolved. That was unresolved. I've worked with so many individuals who carry the weight of the Holocaust within their blood, within their psyche. And it's young people. Young people who are feeling that pain. Young people who are experiencing a world that's been at war, that's gotten a sense of normalcy with war. And so when the consciousness evolves as a whole and we get to a safe place, that's when the trauma actually starts to come forward, to be seen, to be released, to be healed. Trauma actually stays stuck in your body. And it waits. It literally waits. It lays dormant. Sometimes it'll manifest just as generalized anxiety, but it tends to stay dormant until you get to a safe place. And then when you get to a safe place, it starts to come forward. It starts to come to the surface. And so Thomas was saying in Europe, they see so much drug addiction, so much suicide and pain. And of course, it's not just Europe that has this. In the United States, we have, in our collective unconsciousness, just these incredibly twisted beliefs about guns and defending oneself. And then we don't have proper support for individuals who are experiencing trauma and mental illness. And when these two worlds collide, the ease of buying a gun, just to be able to walk into Walmart and 20 minutes later walk out with a rifle or a handgun, without extensive background checks, there's something that's just really wrong here. And so we're seeing it, we're seeing these explosion of pain come forward. And what the world needs is love. We need individuals who are willing to stand up and choose to love in an active way, whether that's making new legislation or showing up as a healer and offering support for our brothers and sisters who are in pain. Offering support. And so it's such a shame to see. And so I thought we'd just spend a moment just sending some love to the victims of the latest shooting, and the willingness to feel the pain, the sadness, the heartache of it all, and admit our world is suffering. We are suffering. We need more love, not less. And so to invite this love to come down into us, come down into our hearts and shine out to the friends and family, the individuals who are suffering in any way because of this violence. And so thank you for joining me in this. And it's worth to say enough's enough. We need to change. We need to change from the inside out. The way Sri Aurobindo spoke about this was, he said that nothing on planet Earth would change. Nothing would change unless we opened our minds, we opened our hearts, we opened our bodies, and allowed this light to descend into us, this most holy light, this transformational evolutionary light, to come down into us through the crown chakra, through the space of the third eye, the throat, into the heart, and into the body. He said, our body needs to change. The matter within us needs to change. We need to let go of this egoic nature and allow it to be upgraded into something greater. And so I'm going to guide us in meditation the way Aurobindo taught it. And so many people, they speak about Aurobindo, they talk about his philosophy, but they don't know about his transmission of this light that descended down from above, and this light which from within matter woke up. And so as there was a descent of light and an ascent of light, and these two lights would meet in the middle, in the individual, in which Aurobindo was inviting was a transformation of the collective consciousness, a transformation of the species. So we weren't going at each other with a fight or flight response and wanting to shoot or kill each other, but so that we were connecting in love, and that the very fabric of our being was light. And so I'm going to invite you just to close your eyes. I'll ring the bell here. Let's start by taking some deep, full belly breaths. And I invite you to bring your attention to the crown chakra and allow there to be a sense of openness on the crown. And imagine that there's a bowl there that is receptive. And within the center of that bowl is a lotus flower. The lotus is receptive to this light of grace which is coming here this evening. The same way a flower is receptive to the sunshine. And so if you can, just imagine and feel, bring the full awareness to the crown. Allow it to be open and receptive. And we're inviting this energy to come down into the third eye. And again, the point of awareness in the third eye is right in the center of your consciousness, the center of the skull. So often people have their consciousness right up here on the forehead. I want to invite you just to bring it to the center. And we're welcoming this light to come down and into us. We're saying, yes, Lord, have your way. Have your way with us. Fill us with light. Fill us with love. Bring that which is greater into us. So you're taking deep, full belly breaths, and you're relaxing the jaw, the throat, the neck, the shoulders, and then inviting this grace to come deeper down through the throat chakra and into the heart, where again there is a lotus flower, just with a bowl, just gently looking upward toward heaven, welcoming this descent of grace as it's coming down through the crown, through the space of the third eye, leaving us feeling empty and free and filled with light. The throat is it's simply an open door, a channel for this grace to come down into the heart. So we're taking deep, full belly breaths. Giving ourselves permission to receive this higher grace, receive this higher light. So you're sensitive, you will feel the whole of you waking up from the inside out. Feel this spaciousness and innocence in the mind and the heart. And the spaciousness and innocence is being flooded with this light. Very brilliant light, intense light. So you're welcoming it down, going down into the heart, and as it connects with the heart, you feel it, this light spreading out throughout the chest, throughout the arms, the hands, in front of the heart, the sides of the heart, behind the heart. We can even imagine this light coming down into us and exploding outward. Blessing the planet, blessing the collective consciousness. Filling this world with more love, more light and peace. And as we're opening and breathing, you will notice that this light has a quality of newness to it. It may feel as if it's the first time this very light has come down into you, the first time this grace, this particular grace, has touched the earth. And so we're allowing ourselves to be transmitters, and we're transmitting this grace throughout us, and it's going through us and out to the planet. We're coming into alignment with this incredible love from the Divine Mother. Again, flowing down through the crown, through the space of the third eye, the throat, the heart, down into the solar plexus and relaxing the solar plexus, relaxing the belly. Sometimes there's a tension in the solar plexus, and so we're just inviting that to gently relax and let go. And we're receiving something so still, so brilliant. And as we're receiving this brilliance, we're waking up to our truth. Truth of this greater divinity that we are. Inviting it to spread throughout the belly, the hara, relaxing and opening, inviting it all the way down into the pelvis. Again, at the solar plexus, you could imagine a lotus, a bowl that's receptive, and the hara, a lotus and a bowl, and it's receptive. All the way into the pelvis, and this light is just shining throughout the being. In the most brilliant of ways. So we're deepening, we're feeling, we're relaxing. It's going down into the legs, the feet, and then simultaneously feels as if the earth is waking up. That matter is waking up. And so that there's this grace coming up from below. So as heaven above is coming down into the earth, blessing the collective unconsciousness, blessing the matter, blessing your humanity. You feel this simultaneously, this waking up from below. It's coming up through the balls of the feet and the calves, the shins, the thighs, and into the pelvis. So there's this descent of grace and an ascent of grace. And in the middle is you, your true nature. You're letting go more and more fully into the hugeness of what you are, the divinity of what you are. So we're breathing, feeling, and surrendering. And so if there's anything within you which is out of alignment, we offer this up to God. We offer this up to life. And so we're surrendering, letting go, and smiling. And yes, Lord, I give you my pain, I give you my sadness, I give you my heartache, I give you my busy thinking mind. And I invite something greater, a greater peace, a greater light, a greater love, a greater happiness and joy. And so we welcome this freedom. We welcome this blessing and light. We say yes. Yes, to that which is holy, that which is divine, we say yes. So as we're breathing here, I hear this message from God, from the Mother saying, I see you. I'm here for you. Open your heart to me. Give me your struggle. Give me your pain. Give me your heartache. I want nothing more than to love you and fill you with this light. Let me upgrade your consciousness to that which is holy. Which is brilliant and free. Surrender yourself and discover that your will and my will is one will, one grace, one light. And so let us take some deep breaths. And welcome this grace, welcome this light in our belly, in our hearts. In the space of the mind. We welcome this awakening to the hugeness of what we are, the hugeness of light, this hugeness of love. And surrender ourselves as a conduit, a conduit of that which is pure, that which is holy. And so again, I'm just imagining that all seven chakra centers are open and receptive to this grace, are lighting up with love, with heat and brilliance. And this light is shining out in every direction, blessing this world. Blessing humanity. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. This is our prayer. Have your way with my body, my mind, my heart. So with a couple more deep, full belly breaths, just breathing and feeling and letting go. Nothing you need to hold on to. Anything you struggle with, the Lord above will gladly relieve it. She will take your burden and fill you with light and fill you with this higher grace. So I invite you to take a couple more deep, full belly breaths, just letting go. Just envisioning this love spreading throughout the totality of your body. This silence deeply blessing your mind and your emotional nature, creating space and healing for everything within you that you struggle with. We see the same silence and light shining out throughout the world, throughout the world. So I invite you just to gently open your eyes, but to continue to stay connected with each of the seven chakra centers, to give yourself permission to allow this grace to continue to flow through you and to bring a sense of balance, a sense of harmony over the body. You know, so often in this world we get beat up. Beat up by these heavy vibrations, by the violence we see on the news, by the experience of heartache we've had from the past. It's okay to allow yourself to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm surrendering this heaviness and giving it back to life. I'm inviting a new energy of grace to come forward, to fill us, to bless us. So join me in prayer. Join me in this experience. And so, yes, I'd like to share a little bit about, being at the Science of Non-Duality Conference. So I gave a, I was on a panel discussion with Rick Archer, Jack O'Keefe, and Keverly Morgan, and it was great to see so many spiritual teachers out in the audience. Even Rupert Spira came and he sat in the audience, and he said he really really appreciated the work that we were doing at the Association of Professional Spiritual Teachers. He deeply supported this work. There was many people that stood up in the audience and talked about the pain they experienced and wanted to know what to do next. You know, how to connect in a greater way, how to confront their teacher, you know, if there had been some abuse or if there was something in the group that needed to be spoken about. And so if you're interested in this conversation, I encourage you know, to visit my website or come find us on Facebook, and you'll see there's links, and you can be a part of this conversation. Because one of the things that's happening now is the whole planet is being invited to grow up. Whether you are an enlightened spiritual master or someone who's just stepping on the path, all of us are invited to look at our life in a transparent way, in an honest way. See what's really going on. How do I learn how to greater work with my humanity? You know, have I been honest with myself, with my partner? with those around me? Am I being kind in the world? These are great questions. Great questions to contemplate on the path. You know, what does this non-dual realization, this non-dual awakening that I'm experiencing, what does it have to do with my everyday life? What is its impact in this world? And see, we are at a moment in history when spirituality is not about our own private bliss world. We are at a crisis point in history when we are seeing the true teachings of oneness means we are interconnected with everyone and everything, the plants, the trees, the animals, with each other. With each other. And so it's important that our awakening is throughout our being. And of course, it's important. It's important to dive deep in the spiritual path to get to know your heart. To awaken to the truth and the beauty of your divine nature. It's important to be able to look in the mirror and smile at yourself and say, yes, I see God looking back at me through these eyes. And then to share this divinity with your neighbors. Not in a proselytizing way, not in a goody-two-shoes way, but as a movement of love. We need this. We need this more and more. And so the shooter who came to the yoga studio, I wonder if he had any friends, if he had any neighbors. Probably not. He needed a friend. He needed someone to come into him and stop him and remind him of his goodness, of his divinity. He needed someone to bring him to church or to satsang or bring him to yoga, to do yoga, to surrender his pain and his heartache. He needed someone to teach him to let go of his crazy thoughts, his violent and aggressive thoughts. He needed someone to smile at him and say, it's okay. It's okay to let go. It's okay. It brings me so much pain to see folks suffering so much here on the planet. So much pain. And so can we reach out to them? Can we be the bodhisattvas here on planet Earth? Can we smile at our neighbors? Can we be kind to each other on Facebook? How about that? You know, I see as we're getting geared up to have our election in a couple days, you know. It's just gotten nastier and nastier on the TV and on Facebook. You know, I saw something pop up in my news feed that said, are we on the brink of the next civil war? I say, no. We are on the brink of learning to love each other. And in order to love, it means we have to reach across the aisle. We have to be willing to knock on our neighbor's door, say, hey, would you like to come over and have some dinner? My wife and I, we have this wonderful garden. It's, what is it? It's November 4th, and we're still pulling vegetables out of our garden. It's even getting cold here in Colorado, but we have kale, and we have even new kale that's continuing to grow. It's just coming up out of the soil. And so we cut down a bunch of Swiss chard and kale and collard greens and took some over to our neighbor's house, and they were so touched. It was nice to get to know them. You know, my neighbors, they have these barking dogs, and I could look at them and say, oh, These guys are no good. Their dogs are always barking. I'm not going to talk to them, or I'm going to give them a dirty look every time I see them. But see, that's not how we create peace. That's how we create war. If we want to create peace, if we want to stop the shootings at the synagogues and the yoga centers and the schools, we have to be willing to sit with our friends, with our neighbors, with strangers. You know, what is a stranger? A stranger simply is God. It's an unknown God. That's what a stranger is. And so, can we get to know God? Can we smile and ask, how are you truly doing? How are you truly doing, neighbor? Do you need anything? How can I help? I'm willing to listen. And so instead of, you know, our country and our world, you know, having more wars and civil wars and this and that, let us create an army of peace, an army of love, an army of joy. But all of this begins through you waking up to your truth, to your light, to your love. You know, as Cindy is saying, yes, stretch that heart muscle. Let it stretch. Allow your heart to take you to places which make you uncomfortable. And of course, we have to learn this in ourselves. We have to be willing to sit with our own pain, our own heartache, and breathe light, breathe love, breathe peace into our own body, our own emotions. We have to be willing to let go of our own discursive thoughts and say no and connect with this silence which is eternally present within us. Connect with the radiance of the heart which is eternally present. This is what our world needs. And so it's so beautiful to be at the SAND conference and to see so many teachers wanting to come together and live in an authentic way, in a transparent way. It was good to see so many teachers doing such good work in the world, and to meet with healers and thought leaders in the field, and to get filled up in the light. It's important that we take time out of our busy schedules to go on retreat. To go to, you know, a yoga conference or the sand conference or spend time in nature and just fill up on peace and unload. You unload the heaviness first and then fill up on peace. Re-experience, rediscover the peace that you are. And so anyway, so I want to thank you all. Yeah, for joining here. If anyone has a question, feel free to type it in or ask for the microphone. And I do have a bunch of questions that I'm going to try to get to here. here's one from Micah in Germany. Craig, do you say that it's always possible to get into stillness? You know, is it possible to always get into the stillness? I see that I have a very strong determination, and this really helps. At the same time, I have expectations, and then I have waiting for that high state to come forward. This whole dance is kind of tricky. How shall I proceed? And so, in the teachings of non-duality, one of the things that we begin to notice, if we put all the practices down, and just stop and notice. Stop and ask, is there peace here? So it's not waiting. But is there peace here? And if your mind is busy, is there still peace here? What does that flow of mind, that flow of busyness arise in? Does it not arise in the space of peace? The very consciousness that is hearing the sound of my voice, is it not already peaceful? And so if you ask these questions and begin to experience what I'm speaking about, you'll notice this peace is your nature. Your nature is silent, it's spacious, it's free. Right here and right now, you don't have to meditate to discover this. Now, it can be very helpful to meditate. I see meditation as a time where we commit ourselves, whether it's an hour or two or three a day, we spend simply being silent and connecting with this depth of what we are. And just to notice, what's here beyond thought? What's here beyond emotion? What is it that's silently noticing, silently experiencing life in this moment? Isn't this space that I am eternally still, eternally present, eternally free? And so, yes, Mike, I invite you to get in touch with the depth of your nature. But what most people do is they make this mistake. They demand that their mind be silent first to experience the peace. And that's a tall order. If you're a human being and you live in a busy world, your mind is probably going to be busy. If you're in an overly stimulated environment, your mind is going to be busy. But I invite you, and I invite you, David, and Ivy, and Chris, and Tony, and Jake, all of you, Cindy and Suzanne, I invite you right now to notice, who is it that's hearing the sound of my voice? Is your nature, is not silent? Isn't it absolutely silent? This quiet nature, if you close your eyes, you'll notice this supreme silence, radiant, luminous silence in every direction. Can you get in touch with this? Can you step into this and never leave it? Even if your mind is busy, even if you have crying children or have to rush off to the supermarket, can you step fully into this and say yes? There's something radiant and divine here. Can you feel this innocence and this luminosity in your heart and say, yes, this is what I am. I'm not my past. I'm not the expectations I have of the future. I am this quiet, silent, radiant, innocent space. If I call your name, it's this space that answers, this space that turns and looks toward me. And so yes, Micah, this silence, this divinity, it's ever present. And so yes, It's also helpful if you did not fully realize it just like that. It's also helpful to meditate. But when you're meditating, meditate on the silence. Meditate on your innocence that you already are. And allow the meditation to show you. Show you where the body is tight, where it's tense, where it's holding back, where you're stuck. And so let meditation simply be a time that you're giving yourself the freedom to explore your consciousness and to relax and heal and transform your humanity. And so this meditation we were doing previously that Aurobindo brought forward is this willingness to step into this grace, to step into alignment if you find yourself confused again, if you find yourself lost. You become quiet, connect with peace, connect with the seven chakra centers, the seven aspects of your mind, and then open these minds to this flow of divinity and see what happens. And as you open more and more, you begin to discover that openness becomes a way of life, and that grace becomes a way of life. That the mother herself is coming into you, blessing you, loving you, filling you with light. That she's doing the meditation, not you. And it's a wonderful way of being in this world. Wonderful way of being. Okay. Welcome, everyone. I see a couple people stepped into the room. Welcome, Neil. Good to see you. Sure, late in Ireland for you. But thank you for joining us. So, Ralph from the Netherlands writes, Craig, I love your work, as you might know. Yes, good to see you, Ralph. Craig, sometimes I get the hang in meditation and I can enjoy the silence. And after everything calms down just by letting it be. By doing nothing and staying, staying, staying. Okay, beautiful. So that's what we're speaking about. However, when I feel like it's been enough, sometimes I get a feeling of impending doom. Wow. And slowly after meditation, I always feel like there's a sense of judgment for me being too relaxed. I know this may seem like obvious mind stuff, but it feels as if there's an emotion there, and sadly, my body reacts to it with a lot of stress, and I go into the washing machine of compulsive energy. My next job is just to stay with that, but there is such an indescribable energy. And it relates to earlier panic situations regarding breathing and skipped heartbeats. Oh yes, okay, Ralph, this is a great question. And so this is very much what I was speaking about with Thomas Huber, that when our consciousness becomes quiet, when it becomes silent, oftentimes there'll be pain within us that will start to unravel. It will literally come forward to the light. It'll come forward to the light of your consciousness, wanting to be blessed, wanting to be released, wanting to be acknowledged. And so your job is to meet it with love. To meet with love. You know, I used to have this happen very often. I would sit in meditation, I would feel deeply calm and completely at peace. And then afterwards, I would start to notice this agitation would start to unravel out of my belly. It's like, what the hell is this? I just got into a state of calm and peace. But it was something old that had been repressed, that was stuck in my cellular memory, and it started to come forward. In the same way a moth, you know, if a moth is sitting in the darkness, and you turn on a light, it will wake up and it will just like run right into that light. It'll fly right up to it. Sometimes if you have a fire, a moth will just fly right into it and spontaneously combust in the flame. And see, our trauma, our old pain is the same way. And so your job, Ralph, is to be courageous. You know, the same way I invited us all as light workers, as beings of light, to go and say hi to our neighbors, to smile at them, to share our vegetables with them. I'm going to invite you to share this smile, this love of your heart, with the feeling of impending doom. That you're noticing it rise in your consciousness. So your job is to meet everything with love, with peace, with sanity and clarity. And as you do, what you'll notice is your heartbeat may intensify briefly, and the pain will unravel, and then it will settle down, and you'll feel deeper and calmer. You'll feel as if this depth of peace has descended into your consciousness. You'll find yourself more relaxed throughout the day, even outside of meditation. Even outside of meditation. Okay. Craig, I've come in contact with a state of consciousness in meditation, and it makes me feel apathetic, non-thinking, non-feeling, and somewhat disconnected from the reality of things. I know that if I don't resolve this absurd state, I won't ever go anywhere in life and with the spiritual path. I just know there is a great amount of repressed energy which doesn't resemble anything or any emotion, but only dead pain. Oh, beautiful. This is from Vittorio in Italy. And yes, my friend, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told Ralph. To open the door to this pain. To sit with it with love. To bring a conscious awareness to it. So sometimes when we get in contact with very heavy states of pain, we'll start to feel apathetic or sleepy, or our mind will just go blank or numb. And your job is to sit with the numbness. Now, there were periods of time in meditation where I'd sit for 3 or 4 months with simply numbness. I'd start to fall asleep. I'd feel kind of apathetic inside, like just like this deadness and dullness. But it's important to have a discipline on the path. And so when we come face to face with something that's incredibly deep within us and it's painful or it's heavy, to continue to sit with it. To continue to sit with it and say, yes. Yes, I see you. Yes, I'm going to be here. I'm not going to walk away. Now, there's been a handful of people that have come to me and they said, Craig, this path is too much. It's too intense. I'm done. I'm out of here. I want to go back to my worldly life. And I understand that feeling. But there's only one way out of this. It's through it. It's forward. Forward into the light. Forward into greater and greater states of peace and happiness and joy. But we must heal first. We must be courageous enough to heal. If you walk away, if you disassociate, you're only going to prolong your time on the path. You're only going to prolong the time you'll be sitting with this pain. And so I'm going to invite you to open your heart fully to this, to what's within you. One of the things that I found that, if we have a lot of pain or a lot of deadness or numbness or the feeling that it feels like too much, and we're really hitting a wall in meditation, the things I love to do is just to put down the meditation and to set foot on the yoga mat, to move the body, to breathe deeply, to go through a powerful asana sequence. or deep restorative practice where you're just holding your heart and your belly. So oftentimes I find out, one or the other of those works really well, like going to a hot yoga class or doing some intense asana for an hour and just moving the body, getting the blood flowing and just helping those chakra centers to open and breathe some life into them. Oftentimes afterwards that pain will just unravel. So that's one way, through just like a powerful yoga practice. And then a different way is through a very nurturing yoga practice. Doing some big, supported heart openers where you're opening the heart and you're laying down for 20 minutes in an asana, taking deep full belly breaths and feeling the numbness of that pain and just allowing it to unravel. Allowing it to free itself from your consciousness. And so yes, all of these are beautiful questions. So beautiful. And so again, I want to thank everyone for showing up tonight, for sharing your hearts with me, for sharing your beauty and your innocence. And so I encourage you to really ask, what is God's plan for me here on this planet? Am I here just to complain and get the things that I want? Or are you here to be a warrior and share this light with the world? Share this love with the world. And of course, it all starts with you sharing this love with yourself. And looking inside and finding all these aspects of your own unconsciousness and your own struggle, your own evolving edge. And saying, yes, I'll meet myself with some more love. And as you do so, that love will start to spread out to the world. And so again, I want to thank everyone for the support and the generous donations. And just if you feel that you've been touched by this program, please support it. And we can do so much greater work in this world if we have resources. One of the things that Aurobindo taught is he said that spiritual people need to have the money. They need to be empowered. They need to have big organizations where they're sharing the light in the world. And so if you feel drawn to make a contribution, I'll tell you thank you in advance. But the biggest contribution is the way you share your heart, your grit with the world. And so, one last invitation to come join us this January for our 3-day winter retreat. Please join us if you feel called. And I do look forward to seeing you. I'll be back next week. Next week. So I do look forward to it. May peace be with you and God bless.